Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. Amen. This sermon is entitled The Holy Spirit at Work. The last time that I was here, I got into a very interesting conversation in the back room as we were talking to people about messy church. And the conversation went something like, it's always interesting listening to ministers' sermons because you can tell from what they say what job they did before they became a minister. So we got talking about the fact that maybe here in the past you'd had a minister who liked trains, so there was always a reference to trains, and then other ministers and the different jobs that they had had. Now, in my first life, I was a social worker. So I thought quite deeply about this when I got home, and I thought, goodness, yes. If I were preaching to you today on the fourth Sunday in Advent, I would talk about Mary. I might even talk a bit about women's issues. I would certainly talk about being born into poverty. I would talk about the role of Joseph and how difficult it might be to take on somebody else's son. So I come to approach the service like that today. Then yesterday afternoon, after I'd sorted out a messy church, one of the children's songs came on the radio by a man called Doug Hawley. And his song goes, "Have we made our God too small, too small?" And I sat there and I reflected and I thought, goodness me, I do that all the time. So I thought, right, if I was going to look at the readings today from a different perspective, how would I approach them? So this morning, I come to you attempting to be a theologian. And I'm going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit within this story that we've read from Matthew. And attempt to look at what it says about Jesus, who he was, and why he came. So, context is everything. Let's just go back to the beginning. Matthew's gospel. Matthew was Jewish, and he wrote his gospel for a Jewish audience. And therefore, if we're going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit within this passage, we must look at it from a Jewish context of how they would have understood it at the time. So we read that Mary was with child because the Holy Spirit came upon her. Now, this is the reading with which you can get really caught up about issues of the virgin birth. But I want to put that aside today. And I want to look at if the Holy Spirit is so at work here in this encounter, what does it mean for who Jesus is and what he came to do? So, I have four ideas for you. The first is this. The Holy Spirit was known within the Jewish tradition as the person who brought God's truth to humankind. It was the Holy Spirit who taught the prophets what to say. It was the Holy Spirit who showed the people what to do. It was the Holy Spirit down the generations who brought God's truth to his people. So from this, I want to say, Jesus is the person who will bring God's truth to the people. Jesus will tell us what God is like. Jesus will tell us what God intends that we should be like. In Jesus, for the first time, we see God at work face to face. We see love, purity, and grace in action. When we see him reaching down to take the hand of Peter's mother-in-law when she's sick, we see holy compassion. When we see Jesus asleep in the boat when the storm is raging, and he comes up after being woken up from the disciples and stands on that bow and calms the waves, everybody else is anxious, but he's not. When we see him dying on the cross, we see God's love and forgiveness in action. Jesus shows us what God is like face to face. Secondly, the Jews believed that the Holy Spirit not only brought God's truth, but enabled people to recognize the truth as they saw it. We are, all of us, blinded by our prejudices and our ignorance. And it is Jesus who can open our eyes to the truth. Sam and I were in Berlin a couple of weeks ago, and we went round the Grimaldi Art Gallery, and about an hour in, I must have lost track of where he was. So I got very much caught behind a whole school party going in front, and I got caught in a room where, when I looked at the pictures, all they were pictures of decaying fruit. So I thought, oh my goodness, fancy getting stuck in this room. Well, it was clear I was going to be there a while, so I got the audio guide and punched in the numbers of one of the pictures in front of me. And oh my goodness, the picture just opened up in front of me. Instead of being just a picture of decaying fruit, it was actually a picture of redemption. It was a picture of the fruit decaying. This represented our lives, that however good and wonderful they are still in a process of journeying towards death and decay. And then there was a glass of wine by the side of the fruit, representing Jesus's blood and forgiveness. And resting on the fruit, I hadn't even noticed, were two insects. One was a dragonfly that represents Satan. A dragonfly was known as Satan's darning needle. Did you know that? And next to the dragonfly was the most beautiful, glorious butterfly, the symbol of transformation. So this picture that was in front of me was actually a resurrection picture, a journey from the Last Supper right through to Easter morning. My eyes were opened in a different way. And scripture would say that that would be the role of Jesus. Jesus comes and opens our eyes to God's truth in a whole new way. Thirdly, the Jews connected the Spirit of God with the work of creation. So we think back to those early passages in Genesis where the Spirit hovered over the water and then brought order out of chaos, and the earth and the heavens formed. And then we think of the Spirit coming in the Old Testament as Ruach, breathing the breath of life into people. So here we have a picture of Jesus coming as the one that will create order out of our chaos and breathe new life into us. This would be a third understanding of Jesus. And then fourthly and finally, the Jews had an understanding of the Holy Spirit at work in recreation. You think of that Old Testament passage of Ezekiel and the dry bones, and he has a vision of the Holy Spirit coming and that the dry bones live again. And so this would be another understanding of Christ, that Christ comes to bring us back to life again, where we have lost hope and are in despair, where we are grieving, that sense of what I talked about earlier at the communion service, that our grieving word turned to dancing and our despair to joy. So drawing these threads together, we see that the essence of Matthew's story is that the birth of Jesus, the Spirit of God was at work in the world like never before. It is the Spirit who brings God's truth to us. It is the Spirit who opens our eyes to the truth to see like never before. It is the Spirit who is God's agent in the creation of the world. It is the Spirit who alone can recreate our soul when it has lost its life and lost hope. Jesus enables us to see what God is and what we ought to be. Jesus opens the eyes of our mind so that we can see the truth of God's grace and mercy for us. Jesus is the creating power come amongst us. And Jesus is the recreating power which can resurrect us and free us from sin and despair. So I want to say to you this morning, this fourth Sunday in Advent, that this is Emmanuel, God with us, and that this is the gift of Christmas. Amen.